You know, in so many ways, this year's presidential campaign seems to be one of a kind, but it is really part of a bigger picture that stretches beyond the United States. In fact, Donald Trump's message to anyone who doubts he can win, look at what happened in the United Kingdom last summer.
Believe me, this is Brexit times five. You watch what's going to happen.
Brexit. That was the vote to leave the EU in June. It was fueled by some of the same issues that Donald Trump is tapping into in his campaign. And to look more closely at the similarities and perhaps differences, we turn to NPR national political correspondent Don Gagne and NPR's London correspondent Frank Langfitt. Guys, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
Now, I know you both are back from reporting trips. You, Don, in the United States, and you, Frank, in the UK, and you're going to compare notes. Don, let me just start with you. Where'd you go?
So I went to two towns, both in far southwestern Pennsylvania.
My old neck of the woods, near Pittsburgh, right?
Manesson.
Uh-huh.
And Washington, PA.
Which is more Pittsburgh than Pittsburgh. This is like coal mining steel country.
And nothing like Washington, D.C.
Very true.
We should add. So this remains coal country. It used to also be steel country, mm-hmm. but tens of thousands, literally, of steel jobs have been lost over the past few decades. Fair to call it Trump country this election.
Okay. Frank, you?
I was in southeastern England along the coast in a place called Margate, an old seaside resort. And like Don's areas, it suffered from globalization and technology, specifically jet travel and sort of discount packages to places like Spain decimated the tourism business there. And this place voted very strongly for Brexit.
Okay, so it sounds like these are similar kinds of places, but I want to hear more. I mean, what did you guys find in common?
Well, I did talk to Don, and I think one thing we found is some similar themes. Certainly where I was, a lot of frustration with immigration. Margate's close to the English Channel, a lot of EU migrants pouring into the schools there, making it hard, frankly, for teachers to teach. I was talking to a pub owner. Her name's Allie Burke. She runs the Bull's Head. And her daughter actually had to translate for other students in school and was falling behind academically. And Allie said all this was kind of just overwhelming.
I don't think anybody in this country has a problem with a certain amount of migration. It's just there's too many. You know, we've got to draw the line somewhere, and we have got to start putting our own country first. I do believe that.
And David, in the town of Manesson, I talked to the mayor. He's 79-year-old retired steel worker Lou Mavrakis.
Mm-hmm.
First, and this is his important thing, he says communities like his have been ignored. He says billions have been spent on unnecessary wars, and that's cash that could have been used to revive a town like his. On immigration, the mayor says it's not a huge worry to him. But he does use really strong language to say they need to do it legally the way his Greek immigrant father did.
Today, what you have here, you pick up that phone and you try to call and say, press 1 for English, press 2 for si habla español. I mean, come on. Now we have people that are coming across the border and they expect us to speak their language to accommodate them. I mean, that's you know, if you want to come to this country, learn the language.
Okay, some strong views there. Let me ask you guys both this question. I mean, both of these movements driven, it sounds like, in large part by economic frustration. Fair to say?
Oh, yeah. And that's the main thing you hear over and over, even from people who have jobs. I spoke with Christina and Frank Zacconi over their kitchen table in Washington, PA.
Mm-hmm.
He's a coal miner. She's a stay-at-home mom. Here's her take on the economy.
Statistically, they say things are better, but you don't notice it here where we are. With the downturn in coal, with manufacturing leaving, with all of that stuff happening, I mean, it's just in shambles.
So her husband, Frank, is working as a miner. It's actually been a decent year for him. He's getting some overtime, but there are no guarantees, and they think Hillary Clinton would kill the coal industry, though Clinton says she wants to invest in new jobs in places like this.
Mm-hmm. Frank?
Yeah. So when I was in Margate, I talked to Rachel Parker. She's 20 years old. She works at Bargain Busters. It's a discount store in the area. And she, you know, said, you know, after the decline of tourism, no new industry has emerged there. And Rachel also told me this, I mean, it really made me so sad. She said only 20% of her high school class has a job. And I was talking to her dad, Chris, who owns the store. And he says there's just no opportunity for young people.
That's probably about the last 10 years. Slowly got worse and worse and worse. It's like this area seems to be forgotten. It's like a dumping ground.
God, the feeling of forgotten, it sounds like you're hearing that on both sides of the Atlantic Ocean. I wonder who people are blaming in these communities. Frank, let me start with you.
Yeah, sure. I mean, in Margate, you just hear talk about the political elites, certainly in London, but also Brussels. That's home, of course, of the European Union and where a lot of these migrants are coming from.
And I heard the exact same thing in Pennsylvania, but with public enemy number one being Washington. David, listen to these two voices. We're going to play them back to back, one in Margate, the other in U.S. coal country.
So I think they're out of touch. I mean, they live in their bubble. They live in, obviously, a land where there's plenty of money and plenty of work. And I don't know whether they actually know what's going on in places like Margate. I think that they need to come and visit and see for themselves.
Every one of them in Washington who are in Washington are the elites.
Do they understand you?
No. They have no clue. They have never walked a day in my shoes.
Never.
They may come on a tour, run around, see, you know, oh, look, they're mining coal. They do. They put the hard hat on, the belt. They don't get a speck of dirt on them. They got their coveralls on. And me, I come out every day as black as that microphone that you have in your hand.
That second voice there is Frank Ciccone. He's the 30-year-old coal miner.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, that was, of course, Allie Burke. She's the owner of the Bull's Head.
That's amazing. Different accents, but, I mean, the message and the feeling really very much the same. Did you guys find, I mean, were all the people you guys were talking to supporters of Donald Trump, supporters of Brexit, or was there a mix?
Mostly. You drive around in this part of the state, and Trump signs are everywhere. The Zaccones are strong Trump supporters. They say, finally, they have somebody on their side. Mayor Mavrikas says he's not for Trump or Hillary. He's a Democrat, but he says Trump says the same kinds of things he's been saying for years.
Frank?
You know, the answer to your question is yes and no, and this is the most fascinating part of the reporting. Almost everybody I talked to voted for Brexit. Not one person could stand Donald Trump.
Wow.
Even if they shared some of his fears on immigration, they found his political rhetoric just too extreme. Allie, the bar owner, she actually said she wished Michelle Obama was running.
Interesting. And briefly, guys, just takeaways from this reporting you've done, Frank?
You know, just how widespread this is, not just in the UK, but we've also been seeing this in other parts of Western Europe, in France and in Hungary. You have the president there fighting to keep Muslim refugees out, saying they threaten the country's Christian identity.
Done.
And if they're not really watching Brexit and what's happening in Europe all that closely, one guy told me, he says, it feels like the whole world is out of balance. You're seeing it in the U.S., you're seeing it elsewhere, and they just feel that the little guy is getting pushed down.
Okay. Well, we're looking at that political trend on two continents with NPR's Don Gagne and NPR's Frank Langfriend. Thanks, guys.
Pleasure.
Happy to do it.
All right. Election night is coming in this country, and we want to hang out with you. All of us here and reporters from stations across the country will be live that night and also the day after going over results. Listen live and follow the races important to you at npr.org.